In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Down. Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the craziest shit going on in the news. Brought to you by your three funniest friends,
which is us.
Guys, wow. We have a special guest today.
I know. Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like the smart kids in school finally invited me over for...
You made it on the honors trip to Six Flags or whatever.
Yeah, literally for the first time in my life, I made it through... to the honors field trip. In high school.
You guys have those programs in school?
Like, oh,
we
yeah.
called ours Reach. And like the, there's the gifted and talented thing, right?
Yeah, we had gifted and talented and we had just honors. But I feel like in elementary school it was always called GT.
So I was in honors history and English, but I was in stupid math and science. But
yes.
Then also they had white cards where if you did something wrong, like behaviorally, you got a white card. And if you had white cards at the end of the year, you weren't allowed to go on like the trip. So I was not allowed to go on the trip.
No. If you misbehaved at all, you couldn't go on the trip?
There was ways to like work off your white cards.
Okay.
You could like volunteer and do this stuff. But I only got two. One was because I was chewing gum in the library. And then one, I was late to science class because I literally fell on the stairs on the way to science class, walked in as the bell rang, literally bleeding. And the teacher made me sign the white card before I could go to the nurse.
How dare.
So what we're talking about here is an unjust system.
Yeah,
exactly.
Punitive, unjust, no restorative justice involved in the system. Speaking of an unjust system, friends, we are here to talk about night one of the Republican National Convention. The theme was Land of Promise. Let's just talk general impressions first and then actually get into the meat of what happened.
I think as a, you know, to tout myself as someone who has a degree in film, you know, mm-hmm. when watching something like television or movies, I usually go directly to quality, you know, production quality, production value. It had really bad production value. That was my first major takeaway, was especially compared to watching the DNC.
Yes.
Obviously, the substance was batshit fucking crazy, but in terms of like the field piece's production value, very, very bad.
Yeah, I'll agree. If we're going from a that sort of a standpoint, the outfits and the makeup, the hair and makeup in general, I thought were interesting choices. It was definitely the same makeup artist, I think, for all of them, because mm-hmm. nobody had matching eyebrows. I just, I thought it could have been put together more beautifully as well. And
yeah.
Then when they started talking, of course, it was, you know.
We'll get to the talking in a second. I will say that I agree with both of your takes. I think a lot of the women made the choice to wear red on an all red stage with 100 flags.
Yes.
And so it was, it felt sort of like an onslaught visually, like of red. I also felt like a lot of it, the cuts were too fast. Brian, I don't know if you noticed that from a
yeah.
film perspective, but when they did their version of the roll call, whereas the DNC one was so cute, theirs was like, Ohio, Arizona. It was going so fast.
Chris,
Iowa.
Chris sent us a video of him doing that. That was so true. You're like, wait, what is this? Like, I remember like things like thinking that would be a good idea to do when I was like young for like, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm just, I don't know, when you're like, oh, I want to make sure that I get everyone in class in this video. So everyone's going to say one line from this Blink-182 yes. song and it's going to be great.
And it's going to go.
That's what they did.
Do you guys remember, this is an early YouTube video. It was about muffins and it was a guy and he would just, this
yes,
is now going to be
know.
A useless anecdote. It was a guy dressed as a woman and he would be like, bran muffins.
It's the same guy that did, he went viral for shoes. Remember that?
Is that the same? Is he, oh my God, shoes as well?
Yes, it's the
wow.
same guy.
Okay, so the same guy, one of his earlier works was this video of the muffins.
Mm-hmm. And it would be like glass muffin, and it's just like yeah. random objects and muffins.
Fish muffin. Okay, the DNC's roll call had the same energy to me as the muffins video.
Which was also chaotic. And
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, because the Democratic one was, hi, I'm Brian Russell Smith. I hail from the great state of New Jersey, home of Bruce Springsteen. And then it would mm-hmm. like go to the next one. And it was like, these yes. ones all had like different, like they would say just Guam. It was Guam.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then the next one would go. And
the
but they also,
Islands. And we're like, yeah. oh my God.
But
oh,
that's the
no.
other thing. I was looking, I was like, even like the audio isn't flowing together. Like, it's like, that's when you can like, audio really like helps the transitions of cuts. It makes you more seamless. And imagine like, and so like when you're watching a movie, imagine it's like you're standing in a wind tunnel and you're saying something and then the next, it cuts to the next person who isn't standing in a wind tunnel. It was very jarring.
Also, I mean, this might be left field, but if you think about the type of person that does careers in like audio visuals and things like that, there's probably a lot of the best ones that are like, I don't want to do the RNC. No, like I refuse. So they might yeah. be not getting the cream of the crop.
The Trump campaign has had trouble finding people to dress them, finding people to do their graphics. Their graphic design is always crazy. Like, mm-hmm. it makes no
finding
sense.
Finding people to, like, allow them to use their songs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's very
okay.
hard.
Before we get into, like, the meat of it, the one last question I had for you guys. What do we think of the choice to mainly have it just be people all delivering speeches from the podium? Because the DNC did like speeches from the studio, speeches from different locations, field pieces. They had a lot more moving parts, and the RNC did a lot more just like person comes out in red and gives speech from the red stage.
I felt like it was very like high school. I felt like they were all running for the same thing. I didn't feel like they were talking about voting for the president. I felt like every single one of them was trying to get votes for themselves.
Yeah, they were running for the same role. I see. During the DNC, I felt that the most impactful speeches were the ones that felt personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tight shot. Someone sitting in like their living room.
Michelle Obama.
Whatever. Michelle Obama. Even Barack Obama. Like he wasn't trying to address a crowd. Because when I watched like Kamala Harris' speech, like yes, it was great. I thought she delivered it well. However, there was an odd. There's like an odd thing to it where she was addressing an empty room, and they did that for like every single one of them except for like the McCloskeys. And
they
so
didn't even
like,
want to subject an empty room to a speech
yeah.
by the McCloskeys.
and so it's, you know, it's like if you guys were doing stand up and it was being filmed and you were just doing it in an empty room without an audience.
So every Zoom comedy show now.
Yeah. I was going to say, so yeah. we have done that, and it's a nightmare.
And it's horrible. It sucks.
But then there was those other field pieces that were just Trump and other people. Like, he, like,
yes.
talked to the group of hostages. He talked to, like, you, Chris, before we got on, what were the one who was
talking
to?
Oh, we
like,
were talking about, yeah, he was in the White House with, like, different frontline workers throughout the all of whom have allegedly survived
COVID.
And then he's talking about, he's like, well, I guess we're all good now, hey, because you all got over it.
Let's get to the meat of the night, and we'll go through some of these like particular moments one by one. So yesterday was night one, as we said, of the RNC. I told you guys, the theme was Land of Promise. In general, we participated in a lot of revisionist history, just sort of kind of contorting the president's first term into something that could be considered a success. Brian, do you want to kick us off talking about Miss Natalie Harp?
Yes, Natalie Harp, a quote, right to try advocate. To try what? I don't know. She is a beneficiary of legislation Trump signed while he was in office that gives terminally ill people the ability to access treatments that have not yet received full approval by the FDA. So this was sort of a subtweet about hydroxychloroquine, which, you know, is not a word that I ever thought I would learn to say. And yep. And here I am, you know, master of that word.
Which also came up more than once during the night.
Yes. Trump also, in that part that we're going to get to, makes a joke about hydroxychloroquine, and he's like, they really did a number on that one. I'm like, you mean the scientists who were testing it? Like, it doesn't work. Like,
Or are you talking about the woman who was crying on the news because her husband took it and died? Which one is the one that did the number?
Yeah.
So Natalie Harp's address was among the many that were terrifying. So let's listen to a clip.
You see, Mr. President, you've done so much more than your promises made and promises kept. For numbers, only tell part of the story. We are the rest of it. Facts with faces of Americans who would still be forgotten if you and our favorite First Lady hadn't given up your own wonderful life so we could have the chance at one. George Bailey's father was right. All you can take with you is that which you've given away. And Mr. President, that makes you the richest man in the world, for you have used your strength to make America strong again. Sacrificed the life you built to make America proud again. And you risked everything to make America safe again. It's a wonderful life. You made America great again. And on November 3rd, we are going to keep America great.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that she needs to watch It's a Wonderful Life again.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I love a good Christmas movie, and Home Alone 2 is ruined for me because there's a cameo from Trump. And now she's ruining It's a Wonderful Life. She brings it up like 4 times in that speech. That's not even half the amount of time she brings it up in that speech.
Trump is also literally Mr. Potter. Like, he builds shitty homes for people to live in, and then, like, that is what Mr. Potter did.
There was just so many parts about that, like, one clip that we have just listened to that were just false and not true. And just, like, on a larger level, she's like, mine is the face that you would always forget about. I'm like, you're attractive white blonde lady, like, people know who you look like. You're gonna be fine. And the thing is, like, you sacrificed the life that you built for yourself. No, he didn't build fucking shit. He, like, inherited every single thing that he has ever had in his life. He didn't sacrifice shit.
Actually a big theme of the evening is, like, it was in the voiceovers by John Voight, by the way, doing all the voiceovers for the RNC. But it was in all the voiceovers, like, Donald Trump sacrificed, and Donald Trump and our favorite First Lady sacrificed their life of luxury to keep living a life of luxury as the most powerful people in the world.
Like, you want the message to be that it's a sacrifice to serve your country? Like, that is what they're saying. Like, it's an honor to be elected. If you want to become president and you're elected president, it should be a fucking honor that you're doing that shit.
Yeah.
Show me a president that left the White House and now lives in, squalor.
Yeah. Like, or even a middle class, like, and then he's just like has a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. And then he had to move back to like his Bushwick apartment with roommates after being president.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not working right now, actually, because I was voted out, so.
God damn it. So next up, we have Patricia and Mark McCloskey, the St. Louis couple, who aimed guns at protesters in June. Funny, those pictures are like really ridiculous. But something someone was saying was that the way he was holding the gun was wrong, that if he had fired it, he would have burned himself, because like they like shoot out like red hot, like whatever. I don't know much about guns. Their speech was explicitly racist, as images of black protesters came on the screen as they warned about angry mobs. Quote, taking over your quiet neighborhoods. We're also going to play a clip from that.
These are the policies that are coming to a neighborhood near you. So make no mistake, no matter where you live, your family will not be safe in the radical Democrats' America.
At this moment in history, if you stand up for yourself and for the values our country was founded on, the mob, spurred on by their allies in the media, will try to destroy you.
It's so funny to me to deliver a speech like that in complete monotone with no expression, like, a mob is coming to destroy your home.
Okay? Oh, it's very, like, American Horror Story apocalypse, like Sarah Paulson sitting with, like, you know, Jessica Lange,
yes,
like, in the beginning, creepy, whatever.
It had the Purge energy to me.
And then they show the pictures of Cori Bush, like, talking about how she, like, literally showing her photo on the fucking RNC, being like, this woman is going to kill you. Like, it was next level.
It is beyond racist, using propaganda to push a racist narrative. I mean, I just recently watched 13th, and it reminds me, like, throughout the film, how they write criminal as a graphic every time someone says criminal on 13th, because it's just been what Republicans and Americans, you know, have been doing forever with the media portrayal of black people as criminals.
Yes, you know. And the dog whistles were out last night. There were multiple instances of people, say, Charlie Kirk, the first speaker who founded Turning Point USA, this like young conservatives group, he's 26 years old, he's mm-hmm. horrible. But he said Donald Trump is the bodyguard of Western civilization. And then there was multiple references to Western civilization, which is like a white supremacy rallying cry just being sprinkled throughout the DNC.
The only reference I want to a bodyguard on television is Whitney Houston, okay?
Yes. And that's why we brought you on the pod, Chris, for those exact observations. All right, so last night's festivities, guys, they also included some appearances by Donald Trump himself. Apparently, Trump is going to make a cameo every night because they saw Joe Biden did it, and they were like, well, now Donald Trump's got to do it too.
Wait, how long do you think until a Trump family member has a cameo account?
Oh.
I bet if we dig deep enough, there already is one.
I feel like Tiffany, maybe.
DJ TJ will be the first to do it.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so funny.
Sorry, continue.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking about a friend I have who once got a cameo as a joke from Rachel Dolezal, and it was really funny. Anyway. Oh, okay. So Donald Trump appeared twice last night in two sort of like roundtable segments. My feeling after watching them is that they threw those together after Joe Biden did the two like Zoom roundtables that he hosted. But they decided to have Donald Trump be in person, not wearing a mask, obviously, and not socially distanced and inside. So the first one was basically where Trump did an interview with some COVID survivors, frontline workers, basically all people who have come in contact with COVID-19.
Where they were all standing also, bizarrely.
But not in any sort of like formation. It was like scattered throughout the room. It was very strange.
I thought at first it was supposed to be like an attempt at being 6 feet apart each, but that wasn't the case. So it looked like a bad wedding party photo shoot.
Yes. They were literally standing in random places with Trump kind of in the middle. He used the phrase China virus multiple times, made the joke about hydroxychloroquine, and the lone doctor that the Republicans have defending Trump's handling of the virus was, I don't know, he was part of this panel. He's he's an oral surgeon, so.
There you go.
Well, that's. And they also, speaking of production value, they have them all, like, turn to talk to Trump, so, like, they're faces weren't even to camera most of the time.
He didn't know who any of them were. He just kept being like, and you, what's your deal?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I'm a custodian at the hospital. He's like, well, there is a job that you'll never lose.
No, first he was like, so, and what does that do? Like, like, what? She's a custodian. She's like, I clean up things. Like, it was like, oh my God.
To see him, I know the point of the segment was to, like, show his quote-unquote humanity and show that he's a nice guy, which was kind of a theme that kept coming up, is people like, actually, Donald Trump was really nice to me one time.
Uh-huh.
He looked like a sociopath. He couldn't speak to these people for 1 second.
No, and then the police officer, like, the blonde woman police officer that was wearing her badge around her neck on a chain like Olivia Benson in fucking season 5. Like,
I bet she didn't even have that with her. They were like, no, you're the police officer. We need a badge for you or something. Yeah. They just put it in.
Wait, I thought we were getting a police officer. This is a lady.
No one's going to believe this blonde woman's a police officer without a badge.
Get her a badge.
It did look like a costume shop badge, so.
I mean, I honestly, someone should look into the credentials of all of those people. But the second interview that Trump conducted was with former hostages that his administration helped release. Again, no one's wearing a mask in any of these interviews. The only person who is socially distanced is Trump, who is placed slightly away from the other people who are all squeezed in together. You know,
it's like it's like Housewives reunion style. This one.
Trump displaying his trademark empathy throughout the entire segment. Here's a clip we actually have of one remarkable exchange in which Trump praises Turkish President Erdogan in front of a man who was held hostage in Turkey. Let's play the clip.
I have to say that to me, President Erdogan was very good. And I know they had you scheduled for a long time and you were a very innocent person. And he ultimately, after we had a few conversations, he agreed. So we appreciate that. And we appreciate the people of Turkey. And you still appreciate the people of Turkey, I understand, right?
We love the Turkish people. We still
That's great. It's great to have you back, Andrew. Thank you.
And you're not racist. Did it make you racist? To be, like, are you racist now? Like, I just love that last question. Like,
this is Davina in the fucking last episode of Selling Sunset telling Chrishell, yeah, like, okay, maybe your husband left you, but that one time I met him for 5 seconds, he was nice to me, so
yes!
I'm not gonna be mean about him.
And all of the celebrities coming out about Ellen, and it's like, well, you know, Ellen, I'm Katy Perry. Ellen always treated me like I was great. Like, yeah, you're fucking Katy Perry.
Yeah, the point is that she was mean to, like, her PAs. And stuff like, it's not that he's nice to the U.S. president. It's that he's jailing innocent people who 2 seconds ago he's like, and you were very innocent, and that is sad. And that's too bad.
That's too bad.
Turkish people are okay, right? How do we feel? Like, what are you fucking talking about?
Literally. He's like, and Turkish people, they are from Turkey, right? Like, he knows nothing that's going on. It's like, Turkey, for me, I'm a big Thanksgiving person.
It's in Europe, they're Muslim. I don't understand it, frankly. It's like, okay, Mr. President, thank you.
So, I think the time has come to discuss Kimberly Guilfoyle. I don't still don't know how to say her last name.
I think that's right. It's like Guilfoyle.
Guilfoyle. It's like Guilfoyle. The president's son's girlfriend is this lady. That's who she is. Kimberly Guilfoyle is the president's son's girlfriend and a senior advisor to the campaign focused on fundraising. She offered an incredibly dark dystopian view of America from which one can only be rescued by pledging allegiance to Donald Trump. So let's just listen to this clip.
Don't let the Democrats take you for granted. Don't let them step on you. Don't let them destroy your families, your lives, and your future. Don't let them kill future generations because they told you and brainwashed you and fed you lies that you weren't good enough. Like my parents, you can achieve your American dream. You can be that shining example to the world. Manifest and be the change in this country that you dream, that you hope, that you believe in. Stand for an American president who is fearless, who believes in you, and who loves this country and will fight for her. President Trump is the leader who will rebuild the promise of America and ensure that every citizen can realize their American dream. Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
It's like, lady, you have a microphone. You don't need to yell.
This woman, let us remind ourselves, there's no audience. He is getting this energy from an empty room. And, I mean, number one, this is literally like, Elise, if your father became president and then you just asked your boyfriend to give a speech. Like,
I would. If my dad became president, I would have Danny give a speech. And he would honestly probably be yelling the whole time.
I was going to say, Danny would actually probably give a pretty similar style speech of yelling. But number one, I'm disappointed because this woman has such potential when it comes to gay icon looking. Beautiful dress, beautiful shoes. Her nails, she had like fucking claws on. Her wig was laid right, her eyeshadow, I mean, everything was good. And then she starts talking and she is Benito Mussolini. So
I will say that it was iconic in the way that like stuff Omarosa did was iconic, like dark iconography. Like, mm-hmm. I was watching it and I was like, this is real. Like there was a powerful nature to it, but it was like Ursula the Sea Witch.
Oh yeah, it was awful.
Do we think, like, so she was saying some really fucking crazy things, like awful, awful things. Mm-hmm. And because she's saying it like this, we can't absorb it because it's just ridiculous. Do you think it is having the same effect on Trump supporters? Like, do you think that they're like, wow, that was weird? Or do you think that they're like, oh, now I'm going to stomp on Democrats because Democrats want to stomp on my freedom?
I think that the entire event was designed to rile up, play to, and just like energize his base. So I think that does work.
Well, like, where are all the people that hate Elizabeth Warren and because she yells, quote unquote, you know? Like, there's mm-hmm. so many people that are like, oh, like, why can't you just talk like a normal person? But it's just because she's a woman yelling instead of a man yelling.
Her voice literally breaks like twice because she is yelling. Well, it's so not hard.
She's gonna get a vocal node. It's not good for public speaking for her to be doing what she's doing.
No, yes.
Well, like, if you didn't know who she was, yes, like before that, like everyone knows who the fuck she is now. So maybe she did exactly what she wanted to do.
Can we make sure before we move on from Kimberly that everyone listening knows the most important, it's not the most important fact about her, but it's the most interesting to me, is that she used to be married to California Governor Gavin Newsom. She was the first lady of San Francisco for a period of time. So last night when she was slamming how shitty it is to live in California and she was like, California is destroyed. She the does kind of do the RuPaul, like, mother yeah. is here.
The battle for your life.
That is very much, call me mother, as she's on that. And of San Francisco, I'm like, she definitely
do you think that
has
she's
seen a
doing,
drag show or two.
She's doing all of this out of spite for Gavin Newsom. She
might be, he cheated on her, and that ain't right.
And it's Gavin Newsom's fault that happened last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom isn't even, I mean, maybe it was one of those things where he couldn't find a way to get out of the relationship, so he cheated to blow it up. We don't know, but he did cheat on her, and that is how the relationship ended. And now she's doing what she's doing. So some people get bangs. Some people become a psycho fascist.
Yeah. So some of the evening's strongest speeches were from the president's few black surrogates. Former NFL player Herschel Walker recounted working with Trump when he bought the team he was playing for. He finally remembered that Trump learned the history of the team he bought in 1984. The team was actually founded in 1983, the year prior, so not too much research was needed to be done.
Yeah, also the league that Donald Trump bought and like what they're talking about there is when they tried to start like a different league from the NFL and it actually ran into the ground and Donald Trump bankrupted it. So
yeah. It was like the AFL or some shit.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Another speech, and probably what I would say was the best, most normal person speech of the night.
And Nikki Haley too, but yeah, which we didn't talk about, but
yeah, we're not going to get too much into Nikki Haley, but every once in a while a real politician would give a speech and you'd be like, okay, this is kind of normal. I mean, Nikki mm-hmm. Haley did say that like racism doesn't exist, but
yeah, but the
and
fact that the fact that they're even there, like I feel like if I was a self respecting Republican, I like still wouldn't be there.
Well that's Nikki Haley- why George Bush, I mean, not to be like, oh my God, George Bush is amazing, but George W. Bush didn't speak. He's a living former Republican president. He didn't speak. Like, I mean, Mitch McConnell will speak and there will be some other people, but it's mostly not highly respected people who are speaking at this thing. Tim Scott, the Senate's lone black Republican, delivered a powerful speech on race. He offered basically a much more optimistic view of America, noting that his own family had gone from, in his words, cotton to Congress in one lifetime. So he, like, as far as what they had said the RNC was going to do, which Trump had been saying, like, I'm going to offer a more optimistic view of America, Tim Scott and maybe Nikki Haley were the only people who really did that. The rest were like, Black Lives Matter protesters are coming to kill you and your grandma.
Yeah, they want to abolish the suburbs. It's like,
yes.
Oh, I love that.
How do you even abolish like a geographical place? Yeah.
Like, how are
it's
you?
Like,
gonna
I'm
going to
abolish mountains. Mountains, they will be abolished.
Like, how are you going to turn my parents' 1,200 square foot home in the suburbs of Albany into like a giant low-income housing building? That I'm like, that's not the plan.
No one's suggesting that the suburbs are gonna be fine. There was also that moment where Ronna Romney McDaniel tried to like say, well, she tried to come for Eva Longoria, which is like, how dare you even speak Eva Longoria's name? And she was like, I'm a real housewife. And it's like, bitch, you're not a housewife, you're the head of the Republican National Committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a really powerful job. You're probably not home often.
Yeah, also, like, Eva Longoria is a desperate housewife, not a real housewife, so get your facts straight, honey.
There you go. And also, I was then quickly reminded, I was like, oh, wow, they had a great convention. Thanks for reminding me.
Yes, it did, like, I was like, oh, wow, the DNC was actually really good. Okay, let's finish with the highlight of the evening.
The highlight. Sorry.
You said it. Of the evening, Donald Trump's second favorite child, his own, but his second favorite child, but his first favorite son, Donald Trump Jr. Let's just play a clip of him talking and then we'll respond to it.
Biden has promised to take that money back out of your pocket and keep it in the swamp. That makes sense, though, considering Joe Biden is basically the Loch Ness Monster of the swamp. For the past half century, he's been lurking around in there. He sticks his head up every now and then to run for president. Then he disappears and doesn't do much in between. So if you're looking for hope, look to the man who did what the failed Obama-Biden administration never could do and built the greatest economy our country has ever seen.
I live for the swamp references, especially because, like, literally last week, it was all over the news how pythons have taken over the Everglades because people are releasing them, and there's, like, hundreds of thousands of pythons, and the raccoons and squirrels are literally extinct in the swamps of Florida. Wow. And I'm like, that is quite literally is what's happening, metaphorically and literally.
We've released anacondas and horrible snakes.
Like, there's literally Burmese pythons, hundreds of thousands of them, killing all the small animals in Florida, so.
I also think it's like, he's like, Joe Biden, he just pops up to run for president every random few years. I'm like, you know, he was in the Senate for like 30 plus years. He was the leader of the Senate Judiciary Committee for 8 years. He wrote the Violence Against Women bill. It's like,
he led the Anita Hill hearings.
Like, he's been around, dude. Like, I don't think that argument is doing what you think. And also, the strongest economy America's ever seen. Do you not see what's... Have you read a newspaper, bro?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, scary to me. He's more Trumpy than Trump. Also, as far as, like, calling Joe Biden the Loch Ness Monster lives in a lake. That's what Loch means.
In Scotland, so.
So.
If we were true. All, if we all lived with the Loch Ness Monster, we would all have universal health care, so.
Yeah, it would be really nice.
Yeah. They don't even know a lake from the swamps. Idiots.
All right, guys, I feel like, unless you have anything else you want to say about Donald Trump Jr., which I kind of don't. That brings us to the end of our episode.
Yeah, I will say one thing is, like, you know, fascism doesn't have to make sense, you know. That's the thing about fascism. So,
yes, just because we found this all very alarming and funny, maybe there are people out there who liked it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't
41%, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
According to RCP.
Enough. If enough people were into it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Chris, thank you so much for guesting on our episode.
Thank you guys so much for having me. What a blast to talk about how we're all, you know, maybe gonna live, maybe not going to live.
It's always a blast. And until the return of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And I am Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.